for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. God is good. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:34. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal, loving God, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We thank you for this time to be able to worship. We pray that your Spirit would teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. And as always, we pray for grace and wisdom to be granted unto us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and to be redeemed from this earth when you come. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Our King, it's truly about time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
Gideon, And this is part one. We're in Judges chapter 6. That's 40 verses. We will be having worship and wellness. We'll hear from Sister Lenny, as we normally do on Friday. She'll be sharing with us on today a wonderful subject, getting through hard times. Looking forward to that. Let's pray. Father, be with us as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us to learn lessons from the life of Gideon. In Christ's name, amen. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The reason why the church is in such a bad shape as it is, and I'm speaking of Sabbath-keeping churches and Sunday-keeping churches too, it's because those churches have gone against the Lord. They have gone the way of the world, and God can't bless mess. It's just that simple, and that's what you see here. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. This is a symbol, because God's people are told that if we are faithful to God, there will come a point in time where we will not be able to buy or sell. The enemy knows that if they can just deal with the economics of God's people, take away what sustains God's people, most people will give in. That's why it's important for us to, first of all, have faith in God, implicit faith in God. Trust him in the little things. You'll trust him then in the big things. The Bible tells us in, what is it, Jeremiah 12, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to deal with horses? And if in times of peace, wherein you trust, you're not faithful, I'm paraphrasing, what's going to happen when the Jordan swells? The New Testament says it this way: he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least will be unjust also in much. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. See, sometimes God has to bring you to a point where you don't look up until you're flat on your back. That's because sometimes we don't serve him when things are going well. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, verse 7, because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. Think about all the truth that God has given us, how he has taught us the wonderful health message that can cure cancer and arthritis and diabetes, and also gave us financial benefits and information about how to keep God's work moving forward while we're also blessed with tithes and offerings. God has given us wonderful truths. That's what we can symbolize here, brothers and sisters. What are we doing with what he has given? And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, for ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midians. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know, let me tell you something. The story of Gideon to me is this. What you need is God with you. It's so funny because the dollar has on the back of it, in God we trust, but people trust in the dollar. You don't need money. You need God's presence. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So as long as you have God's presence and God's power in your life and God's guidance, you have everything you need, you see? So The best thing he could tell Gideon is, the Lord is with you. Then he encouraged him, you're a man of faith, thou mighty man of valor, man of courage. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midians. Well, why? Because the church was unfaithful. The church left the health message and started treating all their diseases with drug medication. The church left God's true education plan and started claiming that people need all these degrees in order to be somebody in life. The church stopped the tithe and offering and system of what we would call Jewish economy at the time, where that you couldn't be in debt for more than 7 years. Even the Jews don't practice that anymore. But you couldn't be in debt for more than 7 years, brothers and sisters. And the church helped its people. There was a fund. You see, we squawk about 10%. They gave no less than 25%. 10% went to those doing full-time ministry. 10% went to the poor, and they still had 5% offering. If the church did this, Jesus would have come, because there would be funding to get evangelism done and the work done, and there would also be a fund already set up for the poor, not just to give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or we can say give a man some tofu and feed him for a day, but teach a man how to grow his own soybeans, okay, and you'll feed him for a lifetime. So a lot of times, when you help the poor, we often think that we just always have to give them money. You could have a fund that you save up, and you could put some work together, that you could get somebody some labor and teach them some skills in industry. And you'll also be helping them not just to be taking advantage of people, making them feel worth, like they have worth, and that they would want to work for what they have. You see, welfare is not God's plan. The welfare system, as we see it today, was never God's original plan, although there should be plans put together to help the poor. It wasn't supposed to come from the government. It was supposed to come from the church. And because it comes from the government, you see, but see, the government has the church in their back pocket, because most of the churches, therefore, went into a different type of organizational structure than they used to be in, and their funding is no longer in God's jurisdiction. They have to answer to the state for what they do with God, and that was not the original situation here in America, brothers and sisters. But that's just another point. We're not belaboring that. The point being made is that God has so many blessings, and we're just outside of his plan. As much as possible, we should get back into that plan, give to the poor, give to God's cause. Support those who are teaching the truth and doing the right thing, brothers and sisters, and you'll be blessed. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. God chose that one man to be his primary person to save Israel. And then he says, have not I sent thee? You see, brothers and sisters, you need God with you. And if you're going somewhere, all you need to know is God sent you. If God sent you, that's all you need, because he's going to make provision. The problem is we do things and go places and make plans that God hasn't set up, and that's where we run into problems. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You know, he's giving him a hint. It's not going to be a whole lot of you, Gideon. You're going to smite as one man. And again, I will be with you. And he said unto him, if I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh, the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consume the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Remember, Gideon asked for a sign. He didn't ask for whatever. He didn't name the sign. He asked for a sign. Now, this is how we are sometimes, brothers and sisters. We ask God for a sign, and be careful of asking God for a sign because he's given us his word. But when he knows our faith is weak and we just need some assurance that it's really him, God will come through. He did ask God for a sign. God gave him. But Gideon, in his lack of faith, went further. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Oh, brothers and sisters, that's a powerful word, isn't it? Thou shalt not die. There's a scripture that says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. When God has spoken that to you, you can say it with confidence. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Shalom, that's similar to my name, Shalom. My name, I'm sure, came from there. My dad being a preacher of another denomination. I do believe, hopefully, I can be a peacemaker in this world. Amen. Jehovah Shalom, that means God is peace. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." All right, so let's see what he actually told him to do. So he told him to take down Baal's altar and the grove that was next to the altar. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was burnt. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" When they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." You see, the church had gone to such a degree that they were serving Baal, brothers and sisters. This was God's church. And you see the state of things. We have that same state today, brothers and sisters. We are far. There is not a single thing that God has told us to do that we're doing the way God says. Okay, we're not doing evangelism the way God says. We're not running schools the way God says. We're not doing the health work the way God says. We're not living where God says. I can't think of any major category that God has told his people that, for the most part, from the top, that we're encouraged to do. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will he plead for Baal? Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Well, that was just the wisdom that God gave his father. They wanted to kill Gideon because he took down an altar of Baal. Baal is supposed to be the god of all power. Why should you plead for Baal? I don't have to plead for God. God can take care of himself. He's a big boy. Amen? Amen. So this was the logic that saved his son's life. And it's true. Let me tell you something. There's no power in these false gods except the power that the devil has, which is less power than God has. There's no real power in the statutes and stuff. It's just that you get involved in idolatry and you're inviting demons, which are fallen angels, into your home. Brothers and sisters, God is much stronger than that. I'm not afraid of demons because I serve the living God. Now, I don't want to parlay and play with them and talk to them and that kind of thing, but I'm not afraid of demons. We ought not be afraid. They're just the same jokers that tempt you every day. That's who they are. they're in our homes. They just can't have lodgment if we have the Spirit of the Lord in our homes. They come, and then they have to go. They come and talk to you, and as you get behind me, then they have to go. Resist the devil, and he will flee. But God didn't say he can't ever come and tempt you, okay? So you don't want him possessing your house and having a welcome place in your house, friends. That's what you don't want. Get rid of those Ouija boards and tarot cards and stop going to seances and be careful what you watch on even television. You're bringing some of that stuff into your home, brothers and sisters. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. You know, God wants us to just believe his word. Sometimes our faith gets weak and we need a little sign. God is merciful, and he does that sometimes. But Gideon, this was a major feat. He was greatly outnumbered. He should not have won, and therefore he needed some extra assurance. And God was merciful to give it to him. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon said unto the Lord, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, for this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Friends, God is still the same God as he was back then. He's still the same God of power. He is still moving in your life. He is still blessing those who are faithful. He is still humbling those who refuse to be humble themselves. But he's doing it to save us, brothers and sisters. All of us have struggled with this thing called pride, and God wants to save us, my brothers and sisters, and God will save us by the grace of God. All right, my friends, God is merciful. He's kind and loving. And we are going to just understand that's part one of Gideon. High point, you need God with you. That's what you need. That's all you need. If God is with you, every other blessing comes in his train. God will call you to a specific work. Believe his word. Don't always ask for a sign. Make sure you just know that God has sent you, and you will be all right. Don't worry about the odds that are stacked against you, brothers and sisters. That's who God is. He's a God that specializes in reversing the impossible. He is a God of gods, a King of kings, a Lord of lords, and a friend of friends. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for being such a wonderful God. We pray that you bless us as we transition now to wellness in the Worship and Wellness broadcast, and we are prepared to hear Getting Through Hard Times. We pray that you will bless us now, that your Spirit will be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We will have church service today, and we will be having a special sermon from Science again on the muscular system, okay, on the muscular system. We pray that you'll join us at 12. Our Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. I'll post something on Facebook before 12 noon to give you an invite link, okay? Password is TORSOE, T-O-R-S-O-E, in small letters. Those on our WhatsApp link, you'll get a link as well. Our WhatsApp group, our broadcast list, you'll get a link as well. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. It's time now to transition to the wellness segment with a TORSOE song.
In the state of Pennsylvania, There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormality may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Now hear from Sister Lenny, getting through hard times.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Getting through hard times. We are sturdy beings, but in many ways, we are fragile. We can accept change and loss, but this comes at our own pace and in our own way. And only we and God can determine the timing. Hard times, stressful times are not all there is to life, but they are a part of life, growth, and moving forward. What we do with hard times or hard energy is our choice. We can use the energy of hard times to work out and work through our issues. We can use it to fine-tune our skills and our spirituality. Or we can go through these situations suffering, storing up bitterness and refusing to grow or change. Hard times can motivate and mold us to bring out our best. We can use these times to move forward and upward to higher levels of living, loving, and growth. The choice is ours. Will we let ourselves feel? Will we take a spiritual approach, including gratitude toward the event? Will we question life and God by asking what we're supposed to be learning and doing? Or will we use the incident to prove old negative beliefs? Will we say, nothing good ever happens to me, I'm just a victim, people can't be trusted, life isn't worth living? We do not always require hard energy or stress to motivate us to grow and change. We do not have to create stress, seek it, or attract it. But if it's there, we can learn to channel it into growth and use it for achieving what's good in life. If you are one who are going through some hard times, let the live free laws of health be a part of your life, part of your journey. And ask God to let your hard times be healing times. And may you always remember that God is forever present. Thank you so much, and be blessed on this holy Sabbath day. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. That was beautiful. All right, brothers and sisters, God is merciful. It's time now for us to have our sharing and caring time. We will start with Facebook. As we do roll call, we hear from Sister Bernadette. She has, I like this, happiest Sabbath Saints. I like that, happiest Sabbath Saints. Sister Bernadette from Florida, we have represented. Sister Angela from South Carolina, we got Brother Peyton saying happy Sabbath. Brother Carl, God bless you, brothers. All right, on the call, we have Ohio represented. We have Ohio again. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma and Georgia. What's on your heart, friend? Anything you want to share, just feel free to do so. I'd like to begin with a testimony. The website is still a work in progress. That is the Torso Flow website. That's the website for the Times of Refreshing Simplicity of Eden Wellness Institute, the Torso Wellness Institute. But the Lord is good. He has blessed that. The set, it is functional. Students can go and review lessons that they have had already. And you know, that's a real, real blessing. So I want to thank God for that. We want to just give God praise for what he's done to bring us to this point. We're actually in lesson, this will be lesson four, really, because there's a foundational lesson. And then you have 12 systems. So this will be lesson four that we're coming to, this coming on tomorrow. And I just want to thank God for bringing us thus far. We're going to be having a sermon from science dealing with the muscular system, which we'll be talking about tomorrow. So our sermon from science is on the muscular system. We show how the muscles were designed by God in the plan of redemption to show the plan of redemption through the muscles. So you don't want to miss that, friends. We will definitely strive by the grace of God to have that recorded and posted for those who can't make it, because we know people have other places where they may go to church and that kind of thing. Well, you're welcome. We just want to know, let you know you're welcome. All right. There is no one in the queue. I'd like to say God bless you, and I'll turn it over to my wife to close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this. We thank you for this time of worship. And now, Lord, as we go about this day with these sacred hours of holiness, may each of us spend time with you, putting forth our petitions. We pray for those that we have already presented before you over this past week, that you will continue to work out those prayers in accordance with your perfect will. We pray that we would have the patience and understanding, knowing that as we put them before you, you will answer them in accordance with your perfect will and with your timing, Lord. Let us be patient and be committed and have faith and trust that you have heard them and they will be answered. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead us through your Holy Spirit by guiding, directing, instructing our lives, Lord. Help us always to seek your face first and foremost, and let us be successful in our efforts so that we can continue to draw close to you. We pray that everyone will be blessed throughout this Sabbath day, and that you will continue, Lord, to help us to know more as we study your word. Help us to grow always in grace and wisdom, giving us knowledge and understanding. All is prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, it's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord, and we will see you all at 12 noon Eastern Time on our Zoom call.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. to love.